get started. I thought we'd be remiss when Parshas Vayeshev, not to deal with probably the primary source in Chumash, in Torah, in terms of the pros and cons of Hishtadlus. Certainly there's an obligation, or certainly there may be an obligation, we'll see. But it also has some very negative aspects to it as well. Put very simply, that Chazal say on the Posuk, Boruch HaGever Asher Som Hashem Miftachoy V'loi Pono El Rehovim V'Shotei Zohov. So Chazal say, Boruch HaGever Asher Som Hashem Miftachoy Zu Yosef. Who is the consummate Baal Bitochon? That was Yosef. Yosef HaTzadik was like off the charts when it came of Chazal, had to assign a name to this Boruch HaGever Asher Som Hashem Miftachoy. That was Yosef HaTzadik. V'loi pona el rehovim. So Chazal say, because he asked the Sar HaMashkim to take him out of the Beis HaSoya, Nitoisef Loishno Asayim, he had to spend another 2 years in prison. So everyone is concerned about, here you call him the ultimate Baal Bitochon, and here you say that he's being punished in the same breath. For what? Seems for Ishtadlus. Asking the Sarah Mashkin to take him out. So, what's going on over here? And it does seem that the fact that he was punished for something about Ishtadlus, we'll see in a moment, does not detract from the fact that Chazal call him the consummate Baal Bitochon. Because otherwise they'd say, hey, Baruch HaGever Asher Som Hashem, that can't be Yosef, because he did a wrong Ishtadlus and he was punished for 2 more years. So one thing has nothing to do with the other. There's no contradiction. We have a problem with his ishtadlus, even though his bitochon was on the highest level, which really sets the stage for some analysis of what's really going on over here. What are we talking about? What's this bitochon with ishtadlus? What's going on? So it seems that there is an obligation of Ishtadlus. That means that, that doesn't necessarily mean that everyone is obligated, or rather I could say that doesn't mean that everyone is obligated according to every Shita. But it seems that there is such a thing as an obligation of Ishtadlus. Some say, the Ralbag I think writes in one place, because the Pasuk says, B'chol asher ta'aseh. You have to live this world with everything you do, you gotta do. The Chavos HaLevavos explains that if not for Hishtadlus, we'd be Yoshev Botel, and who knows what kind of Averus we would do. Therefore, the Torah wants that we should have to do Hishtadlus. The Torah made it. In other words, this broch, this klolo almost of Beseya Sapecho Toichalechem, was really also a brocha, because otherwise, who knows what kind of trouble we would get into just because sitting around doing nothing. So that's another possible approach. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta and others say the reason for Yishtadlus is Ein Soimchen Al HaNes. The Torah didn't want us, Hashem didn't want us to rely on miracles. The reason for that is not clear. I believe, and I've suggested this here many times, that the reason for that is because the Ramban, the Chazal say, a person that's Nas Loi Nes, Menaken Loi Mischu Yosef. If a Nes happens to you that the Teva has to change, it draws on your reserve account of schusim in order to cover the expense for this miracle. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to draw on that account. He'd rather we live b'derech ha-teva here, and he could save that account for the eternal world where the currency is much stronger and the payments are forever, and you know, without any of the materialistic limitations that this world has. Fine. So that's another possible reason, Ein Somech Al HaNes. I think those are the basic possible reasons. There's one other Shita which holds that this inyan of ishtadlus is only for the hamoinam. And that shita, that's actually the Ramban, is based on the machlokes in the Mishnah in Brochos, the machlokes in the Gemara in Brochos, between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said that if you do your work, Torah matei aleho, elo zochin, if you sit and learn, you zoicha, that melach nasas ani de'achirim, you don't have to do ishtadlus. That was Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai shita. Rabbi Shmuel said that you are obligated in ishtadlus. And the Gemara even says, Harbe osu kein veloy olsa biyodam. Many people try to do Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai shita, which means not to do anything, not to work, sit in a cave and learn, and the tree will grow and the fruit will come to your doorstep. He says many people tried that approach and they weren't successful. And it seems that's also machlekes the Chovos HaLevavos and the Ramban. Ramban says there's bitochen without ishtadlus. Chovos HaLevavos says you have to do ishtadlus. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, in the Sefer Evan Yisrael, there's droshes from Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, he explains that there's no machlekes. He says it depends on the level. Those that are on the level of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, or on such a level of tzidkis and bitochen, I'm not sure how much of which and exactly how that plays out, that's a different discussion, but they are exempt from ishtadlus. They can just do their thing and rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But as the Gemara said by Rabbi Shmuel, har v'yosa came below olsa biyodom, many people tried to do Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and they weren't successful. So for most of us, there's a chiyuv of ishtadlus. Okay? So that's basically the chiyuv of ishtadlus, and that chiyuv of Yisrael Salanta in this drosha explains is because Hashem doesn't want us to rely on miracles. Those people that are on such a lofty level, I guess with their bitochon, maybe it's not even a miracle. You know, they change the teva because they're so confident, they're so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that's not for most of us. We do find by the Ovois.
Can we say that their bitachon is a form of ishtadlus?
Well, that could be. It could be. Or it's instead of ishtadlus. Yeah, it could be. That's already getting deeper into it. Exactly how that works, I don't know. But we do find that the Ovois did do ishtadlus. It's interesting. And the reason why it's not clear is one of the reasons that's offered is, I mean, the Ralbag seems that they were supposed to do ishtadlus. But one of the reasons that is offered also is that many people, even though they could with their bitochin achieve this supreme level of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and not be required to do anything, but they want to live b'derech hateva rather than have b'derechness. They wanted to go with mishpot rather than with rachamim. Could be for that very reason that I suggested, because they want to save it for later. No, that stuff, they don't want to use up their schus, they don't want to use up their credit, their account, whatever it may be. So sometimes we find in the Ovos that they did those things. We find that Yaakov Avinu was mishtadl with Esau. We find Yosef was mishtadl to gather the Meis HaSoyer. And we find by many others that there was different forms of ishtadlus. Avraham Avinu did certain ishtadlus. Okay, that's that. Now, but back to Yosef. That's really where this sugya unfolds in terms of the issue of ishtadlus. It seems that everybody questions, what did Yosef do wrong? What did Yosef do wrong? If there is an inyan of ishtadlus, then that's what he did. He asked his Aram Mashkim. So the Chazon Ish weighs in on this and says that even if you feel that you're supposed to do ishtadlus, but you can't do a ishtadlus which speaks or bespeaks Yiyush. He's asking the Sarah Mashkim to help him. What are you thinking? The Sarah Mashkim couldn't care less. The Sarah Mashkim will forget as he did forget. You know, that's the ishtadlus of a meyush, he says. Even if we're mechuyev in ishtadlus, You're not supposed to do too much hishtadlus. You're not supposed to do inappropriate hishtadlus. Because this inappropriate hishtadlus, in a sense, either it contradicts the bitochen, because it says, I'm miyayish, or even if it doesn't interfere with the bitochen, as it seems over here, because Chazal did not detract from the fact that Yosef was the ultimate Baal bitochen. Boruch ha-geva she'asom ha-shem miftach uzu Yosef. But it's still an inappropriate hishtadlus. You don't act like a miyush. You don't act like a desperate person. A Baal Bitochen is not allowed to act like a desperate person, even though if in his heart he knows that he's not desperate. He's all relying on Hashem. But you're looking like a desperate person. So that's the Chazon Ish's approach.
What other hishtadlus could he have done?
What?
I mean, he's in jail.
So then somebody gets called up
to power. Right, what's his options?
Don't do anything. According to the Chazon Ish, rather than to do a hishtadlus which indicates a level of yush, should sooner do nothing.
No, I'm saying, but within the context of where he was.
No, see, do nothing. Do nothing. Pray to Hashem. You know, who says you're mechuyif to do it? Listen, let's say the only hishtadlus I could do would be to do something that's inappropriate, that's halachically forbidden. So I don't do hishtadlus. What can I do? I can't. Not allowed, I'm not allowed. That was the Chazon Ish's approach. Rabbi Saul Salanta, his approach is a little different than this Drush Dalet, I think. Gimel or Dalet, I forget. Gimel maybe. In this Sefer Evan Yisrael. He says that Yosef was really on the Madrega of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, of the Ramban's Bitochen, that he wasn't supposed to do Ishtadlus. And he did Ishtadlus. So the Tviya on him was V'loipona El Rehovim. He turned to Ishtadlus when he was above that. He was such a tzaddik and he was such a Baal Bitochen that he should not have done any Ishtadlus. So the Tviya on him was for doing Ishtadlus altogether, even though that Ishtadlus did not stare in any way his Bitochen, and Chazal still call him Boruch HaGeva Shasom HaShem Miftacho Zu Yosef, that he was the full Baal Bitochen, and the Ishtadlus, which was inappropriate, did not interfere with his level of trust in Hashem, but it was inappropriate, he was taken to task, because you're above that. You should be above that. You don't do Ishtadlus. That's the Rabbi Saul Salanta's approach. There's another approach. There's a mashmos from Rashi. Rashi at the end of this parsha, and it's only in certain chumashim. There's two gersois. Originally, I saw it when that said it, then I picked it up to say publicly, and it didn't say it. So it was a little bit. But Baruch Hashem, somehow had a chumash there that did say it. But Rashi says that he was toile bitchoinoi besara mashkim. And I think what that means is that toile bitchoinoi doesn't. What do you mean toile bitchoinoi? It doesn't mean he was putting his trust in the Saramashkim. Because if he put his trust in the Saramashkim, how do you call him Baruch HaGev Shem Hashem Yiftach Hazu Yosef? If he put his trust in the Saramashkim, then he's not the Baal Bitochen. And yet Chazal say there's no stira. He was the Baal Bitochen, but he did something wrong by going to the Saramashkim. So he didn't put his trust. What I think it means is, Toile Bitchoine, he took his trust in Hashem and he put it on the Saramashkim. You're going to be my Shliach. I'm trusting Hashem. You're only a shliach. No koich whatsoever. You are Hashem shliach. My trust is totally in Hashem. But even that was something that was inappropriate. You shouldn't even focus on the shliach. You should be like, I don't deal with shluchim. I deal directly with the boss. I'm the only one. I'm geiris is the boss. Shluchim are already like, that's already inappropriate for someone like me. You know, someone who's so directly connected. Imagine an underling is going to come and tell you something. Come on, leave me alone. I deal directly with
the broken telephone.
Also. What?
Broken telephone.
Okay, but I don't know. But here it seems Poshi was toile bitchoinoi. He had to be talking about Hashem, but he hung it, so to speak, on this Saramashkim. There is a Beis Halevi that goes a step further. And this, I believe, I have a recollection that we mentioned it here once. And that is, he says, David HaMelech said, no, he says Yaakov was saying, that's right. He said Yaakov was saying, Eso es Chazal say Yaakov was saying, Eso eni alehor meyayin yovu Ezri. And then he said, Ezri mim Hashem. So Chazal say that Yaakov Avinu had charoto. First he said, meyayin yovu Ezri. He knew. What do you mean? Yaakov Avinu didn't know where the help is going to come from. Me'ayin, where's my help going to come from? He says, no. He was just asking. He says, almost out of curiosity. It would be interesting to see, how is Hashem going to save me from Esav? I know it's going to happen. I have 100% confidence. But you know, I'm a little curious. Like, well, is it going to be this way or that way? Then he said, even that's not permissible. Ezri Meim Hashem, deal directly and totally. Don't even think. Of course, that's on his level. That's not on our level. You know, that should be our worst thing that we think. Oh, which way is Hashem going to do it? You know, but that curiosity is also some type of a chesaron for the Baal Bitochen. Not necessarily in the Bitochen, but the Baal Bitochen doesn't think that way. The Baal Bitochen doesn't even interest him. The world around him doesn't interest him. I deal directly with the boss. Hashem is in charge. He's doing it. And, you know, it's almost as if when curiosity shows a little bit of a weakness. Like, why are you so curious? Well,
you have a doubt.
I have some, you know, not even a doubt. Let's not call it a doubt. That's a harsh word. But some kind of a thing, you know. Nothing. I close my eyes. I'm not interested. Because I know it's, as far as I'm concerned, it's direct. As far as I'm concerned, you know, I had this this experience, I'm sure I shared this here once, when we started the yeshiva in Los Angeles. We actually separated it from an elementary school. So my Rebbe, the Rosh Yeshiva, the Chofetz Chaim Yeshiva, came down to the meeting. He was telling the Baal HaBatim, he says, don't worry about the financial burden. You have a shutif that underwrites everything, you know, and you shouldn't, shutif upstairs. He underwrites everything, don't worry. Fine, okay. A couple months later, I'm at a meeting, and I go over to one of the people who was there at the meeting. I say, you know, I need $1,000 for tomorrow morning. $1,000 was money in those days. We're talking over 30 years ago. So he puts his hand in his pocket, counting out $100 bills. But he says to me, please, Rabbi, where's your shutif? Like, you know, the Rosh Hashiva said there's a shutif. And I, in my innocence and maybe stupidity, said, I don't understand. What do you care which way my shutif gives it to me? You know, from you or from somebody, my shutif is giving it to me. And that's the reality. The reality is the shutif is sending it, and you're at best an agent. He was very offended. Because I'm giving you my hard-earned money, and you're thanking your shutif. Come on. And I learned from that mitzad echod, we have to look at it as if this guy is irrelevant. It's all directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when it comes to the Hakoras HaToiv, to appreciate his Rotzen HaToiv, it's as if he did everything completely and totally by himself. And I bring you a rhyme for that from the Rambam in Hilchus Chanukah, in Yonah D'Yoimo. The Rambam, this we've mentioned too, I'm sure, the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchus Chanukah says that the Yevonim caused great pain in Tzara to Klal Yisrael with all the Gzeiros. Ad shirichem aleim and akei avoisom, until the God of their fathers, of our fathers, had rachmonas on us. Vehitzilon, vehishion es Yisrael, he saved Klal Yisrael. Hashem saved Klal Yisrael. Then it says, the Rambam continues, vegovru b'nei chashmonoim, on the Yevonim, they overpowered the chashmonoim, overpowered the Yevonim. Vehitzilon es Yisrael. They saved. Who done it? Did Hashem do it? Or did the chashmonoim do it? This is steer in the Rambam. This is Boshin. Avada HaKadosh Baruch Hu does everything. When he's Merachim, it's a done deal, it's decided, it's happening, and when it happens, he implements it, he does it. But when we do our share, when we're Moisa Nefesh, even when we do our Hishtadlus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his infinite Rachamim and Chesed, allows us to get credit as if we did it. The Ramban says the same thing. He says, Il Molei HaChashmonoim, if not for the Chashmonoim, Torah Mitzvahs would have been forgotten to Klal Yisrael. That's how dangerous it was with the Yevonim that Torah Mitzvahs. Now, the Torah promises, Torah will never be forgotten. What's the Ramban talking about? It can't be. How could you say, El Molei Chashmonoim, Nishtakach Torah Mitzvahs Yisrael, when the Torah itself promised, Loisi Shochach Mipizaroi? It will never be forgotten. The Torah says, of course, it will never be forgotten. And of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls everything. And he makes sure that it wouldn't be forgotten, as he told us in his Torah. But the Chashmonoim did fought gallantly their battles. And the Mela, and this even, first even them accepting the Malchus, which is something that they shouldn't have done. But he says, Mela, They are given credit as if they themselves had actually assured the survival of Torah Mitzvos Yisrael. So in the world of credit, we have to get. But in the world of reality, we have to know that this is all completely and totally HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is one more mahalach, which I'd like to mention. And it was said by about 7, maybe 8-year-old girl. She happened to have been my daughter. My father-in-law was visiting that Shabbos, Parshas Vayeshev, and we were discussing this. What was the chet of Yosef? What was wrong with his hishtadlus? So she said that maybe he shouldn't have said, v'yizkartani el paro, remember the paro, that was the hishtadlus. V'hu yitzei sani, paro will take me out of this. Paro will take you out? How dare you even say such a word? Of course he didn't mean paro was going to take him out. He knew it was all Hashem. Yosef was the ultimate Baal Bitochen. But it was an inappropriate word. Don't even in your language ascribe it to Paro. You remember me to Paro, and Paro will take me out. Paro ain't going to do nothing. Paro can't do nothing. Paro doesn't have the ability to do anything. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, by saying that, you're passing your hishtadlus in a certain way. It's the wrong hishtadlus. It's the wrong lesson. It's the wrong word, even though, according to what we pointed out from Chazal, it doesn't necessarily mean that you mean it. It doesn't necessarily mean that you interfere with your bitochen. But that's not the appropriate way to talk. So it comes out that bitochen is for us an obligation. You know, there's another discussion in halacha: how much bitochen is supposed to do. Rabbi Sol Salanta says that the Ralbag says you're supposed to do the maximum bitochen possible. He says that even we see that from Yosef, because I guess the fact that Yosef did this, if it wasn't the chiv and the maximum bitochen, then he wouldn't have done this at all to ask his haramashkin, because who's his haramashkin? He's not like the Chazanish say, he's not going to remember you. So the Ralbag says you're mechuyev everything possible. Everything you can possibly do to do ishtadlus. And at the same time, listen to this, I'm doing everything that I can possibly do to bring about the results, and I know that it's all Hashem, and it doesn't interfere with that bitochen in the slightest. That's the, according to the Ralbag, that would be the way we're supposed to look at it. Rabbi Sol Salanta suggests something else. Rabbi Sol Salanta suggests that the shear of bitochen, since the reason for bitochen is not to rely on miracles, the shear is to make it efshar al piderach hateva. To make it possible, al piteva. The shear of ishtadlus, I'm sorry. The shear of ishtadlus is to make it efshar al piderach hateva. Because once you said it's possible al piderach hateva, you're not relying on miracles anymore. And if it happens, that's considered teva. So mimela, you know, that's what he gives a shear. Others say, they add like I heard this from my Rebbe also, this idea that, you do a maximum ishtadlus, but nothing that's beyond what's permissible. In other words, to go beyond what's halachically permissible in the name of ishtadlus, that's definitely, there's no such thing. Well, I have to do it. No, you don't have to do it. The gedder of halacha certainly is the outward, is the final barrier to any type of ishtadlus, because you're not allowed to. You have to, and especially since the ishtadlus has really nothing to do with the results and nothing to do with undermining the bitochen, it only has to do with this idea of a mechuyev and ishtadlus. So you're only mechuyev till the din, and certainly nothing more. We do, though, have to be careful about a few things, because let's say you say that you're mechuyev to do, ishtadlus as much as you can. So first of all, there are different types of things. The Ralbag only says that you're mechuyev to do the maximum ishtadlus to get yourself out of trouble. He doesn't necessarily say that you're mechuyev to do the maximum ishtadlus for parnosa. Because in parnosa, there's two things. There's parnosa, and then there's moisrus. There's luxury. And luxury is very fine. And Rabbi Sol Salanta said very clearly, you can have bitochen for luxury too. but the chi of hishtadlus is not the same. So memela, a person has to say, let's say, if I'm in trouble, if a person is sick, if a person is in danger.
What if luxury means more tzedakah? Why is...
Okay, why, so that's... okay.
Parnasa means you're paying your tuition bills and you're getting groceries, but you're not really doing anything
Else. So okay, listen, that's a very... But even there, but listen, what we'll say is, see on what cheshbon that is. You know, if a person say, I'm making money to give tzedakah, I'm not going to learn at all, I'm not sure that that's the correct thing, because we're all mechuyev to learn. We have to learn, otherwise, if we don't learn, we lose. When a person disconnects from the Torah, everything falls apart. The whole, that's the secret of our survival. In fact, that's the Hanukkah, we celebrate the survival of Torah and mitzvahs. And the secret of our survival is the fact that we always remain connected to the learning. That's why the enemies that understood that, the first thing they want to do is to burn the Talmud, burn the Sfarim, forbid the learning, burn the Sifrei Torah, because that's really where you get the Jew. If you get him at his books, you got him, you know. So that's a cheshbon, but not against the other things that I'm afraid to do. Anyway, so what I mean to say is that. If a person's in trouble, then a person has to sort of go for the maximum in terms of ishtalos. That would seem to be a reasonable position. But in general living, when it's not trouble, when it's just normal living, then we have to, I would say, that what makes more sense would be in the time that's appropriate to work. Let's say I have a job and I have to put in certain hours. Then in the job, I certainly am mechuyev to be mishtalot with the fullest of my capacity. And I'm mechuyev anyway. If I'm hired, I'm certainly mechuyev. And even if I'm working and these are my hours to work and I'm the owner of the business, but you do your max. But it should not take away from my other responsibilities. A person is responsible to learn every day. A person is responsible to daven with a minyan. A person is responsible for other mitzvahs that he has to do, including the tzedakah. That's true. It shouldn't take away from that. But a person has to be careful not to overdo it. Because when we overdo it for what would seem to be the appropriate amount, and that's a little bit questionable, we can't know exactly, each person has to figure out for himself, but when we overdo it, in a sense, for us at least, maybe not for Yosef, but what we're saying is, I'm not so confident in the bitochen angle, I think I have to do a little bit more. By us, when we overdo it, it does have a negative effect on the bitochen, because we're sending the wrong message to ourselves. You know, we find, I think I mentioned this too, that the Meiri says, "Al tiftuchu min adivim." Don't trust the great, generous people who give. So the Meiri, that's what the Pasuk says in Tilim. So the Meiri says, but in b'chachomim, maybe he says, "V'chassidim b'chachomim mutar liftoach," but them you could trust. Shehem yadricha oisa v'darkei bitochen b'Hashem. They will lead you in the ways of trusting Hashem. What's the pshat? Are you trusting the chochem as the baldover? He has a power? He has no power. You're only trusting him as a shliach. So what's wrong with the nod of being a shliach? The guy says, you know, well, I'll be a good shliach, I'll help you out. Teres is like this. When you go to the nodiv, he'll say, come to my house tonight at 9 o'clock and I'll be happy to take care of all your problems. Very good. I look at him as the shliach, but a little bit I think he's also the mishaleach. He's also the baldover. But the chochem will say, don't rely on me, the Rabbeinu Shalala will help you. That kind of a shliach you'd be allowed to rely on, because he is clearly making it clear, not letting you forget that he's not the baldover. So there are a lot of dangers in this that we have to keep in mind. It's very interesting that the Sipurnu, in Ona Hashem Hoishiyano, in Ona Hashem Hatzlichono, so in Ona Hashem Hatzlichono, he says, Shenatzliach Lishtadel. The Hatzlocha we ask for is just to do the right Ishtablos. And I believe what that means is as follows. We said Hoshiyano. Hoshiyano is everything. Hashem should save us. Hashem does everything. The only thing I don't ask for Hatzlocha in my Ishtablos, because my Ishtablos should be crowned with success. Your Ishtablos is not crowned with success. Hashem makes the success. He's not crowning your Ishtablos with the success. Your Ishtablos is a separate thing. You mechuyev in Ishtablos for the various reasons that we mentioned. So you just ask Hashem, Hatzlichono. Hoshia means Hashem takes care of everything. The Hatzlicha is we should at least do the right Hishtadlus to be Yotze, the mitzvah, the chiyuv, the obligation, whatever it is, of Hishtadlus. I think that would be the basic idea. Maybe just we'll conclude with one more thought. There is an interesting Beis Halevi. And the Beis Halevi has like his own formula, and I think it's pretty accepted in the world on a certain level. I mean, you hear that this is also used. There's no clarity, by the way, in Shulchan Aruch and these things, because as the Kesef Mishnah, I think it is, says in Hilchos Shcheinim that Midos were not codified in Shulchan Aruch because they're too changeable according to the circumstance, according to the person, according to his level, according to his nature, and therefore they couldn't be codified as Shabbos. This is a Malocha, this is a Malocha, this is a Malocha. These are too vague, too independent on so many variables, so we can only have the general principles. But the Beis HaLevi, that's the Yosheber Saharechik, the father of Rabbi Chaim Saharechik, writes as follows. He says that there's an equation, there's a relationship between Bituchen and Ishtadlos. And he says, the amount of Ishtadlos a person should do is the amount necessary for him to be able to have the Bituchen. In other words, he looks at the Ishtadlos as an adjunct to the Bituchen. So like this. For example, I have a budget. I have to raise X amount of dollars a year. I could imagine that if I sat at home or in my office doing nothing all day long, I would raise a third of my budget. That comes in, you know, many years established, the general donors, it comes in almost, you know, without solicitation. But I can't imagine that the full budget I could raise just by doing nothing. I can't imagine that. Mimela, according to him, that I can't have bitochen, that Hashem will give me the rest of it unless I do some ishtadlus. So I have to figure out how much ishtadlus do I have to do in order to be able to be confident that Hashem is going to provide the results. And that's something for each person has to figure out according to his own situation. But that's what he says is the formula. Because the ishtadlus is really, the goal is the bitochen. And he looks at ishtadlus a very novel way, ishtadlus only as the thing that enables me to have the bitochen. And if I have less bitochen, I need more ishtadlus because I can only be confident, bring it to the level of confidence with that amount of ishtadlus. If I have an easier time at confidence, I can do less ishtadlus because even this little bit of ishtadlus will help me come to this level of. So I wish there was some clarity in halacha l'maisa. I don't know what to say about that. But even without clarity, we know that if we take these issues seriously and we have to make decisions, at least we know that there are different opinions and we could work with one opinion, another opinion. If it's not codified in Shulchan Aruch, at least we have some basis like this. Without these opinions on the table, we're at a complete loss and we're just, you know, we don't know what to do. So at least now we have some of the guidelines and some of the concepts to be able to begin making these complicated decisions.